Today is an episode of the show that is long overdue. We're doing it live at the Biohacking Conference, so we're in a room together like normal human beings who are safe. And the reason that this is overdue is you may have already taken my sleep challenge, where thousands of people have learned all of the things that I do to get more sleep and less time. You may even have read The Better Baby Book, my first book that came out in 2011, 10 years ago, back when the show was starting. And I talked about how important your mattress was for having a healthy baby because of the toxins in the mattress. And for the past 10 years, I have looked at different mattresses, and it's always been a combination of what makes you sleep the best and what does the least amount of bad stuff for you and what does the most good stuff for you. And the problem with mattresses has been in toxins and with other abilities that you can do. And I'm interested in cooling and heating and all sorts of things you can do, but I'm also interested in not cooking myself in endocrine disrupting chemicals. So I have an expert for you on the show today who knows about how to make mattresses. If you're a longtime listener, you know I like natural latex mattresses, but you also know there's a lot of variability and problems there. So I found it comes from a family of latex manufacturing for, I don't know how many generations, we're going to find that out. Actually, Jack, how many generations?
I guess I'd be the second.
Second generation.
For 16 years.
Okay, 16 years plus your parents have been doing this. So there's a thing or two about what really happens with a redesign of mattresses from the ground up. So we're going to go into, here's exactly what matters in a mattress for you. And maybe you'll want one of Jack's, Jack Delaccio is his full name, who's the CEO and founder of Essentia Mattresses. Maybe you'll end up wanting an Essentia mattress, but the important thing is he's going to teach you what is in foam, what is in a mattress, what matters with the mattress, and he's gonna tell you about lab studies of how important this stuff is. Things like going as esoteric as blocking electromagnetic frequencies and things like medical conditions you would never think were tied to this. So this is a Mattress 101 episode for you. Jack, welcome.
Thank you very much. Very excited to be here.
When I say you come from a latex family, that could sound kind of weird. What is a latex family?
Yeah, whenever the latex comes up in so many different meetings, it can easily get sidetracked. But specifically latex foam family, I guess.
Okay.
My dad was in the latex foam business, so he was supplying pretty much most of the major brands in North America with latex foam.
So for all the mattresses and couches and all that kind of stuff.
Correct. But back then you didn't find much latex in couches.
And latex
was underused. And the way manufacturers would use it, they'd buy layers of it and they would incorporate it into their mattresses.
And latex comes from trees instead of from petroleum, right?
Well, there's two types.
And latex comes from trees instead of from petroleum, right?
Well, there's two types. Okay. There's natural organic latex, which basically is tapped from a tree. It's from a Hevea brasiliensis tree, and which was a native tree in Brazil, but today is grown in different rainforest climates. You can get in Indonesia, Sri Lanka, India.
What would you call a rubber plantation, right?
Rubber plantations, exactly. And basically, there's also the petroleum-based version, which is a synthetic rubber.
It's chemically the same molecule, but with a bunch of impurities from the petroleum.
Exactly. Okay. And you know, over the years, Europe became the specialist in blending these two. So they have, you know, what they would call blended latex, partially natural, partially synthetic. The key to that is because synthetic products are much more stable, easier to predict. When you're working with organic components, density can change from one tree to the other, viscosity can change, and that's all part of the process of getting something done right.
And your family was always doing natural latex, or you guys were the petroleum latex and natural latex?
It was the European latex.
It was
blended.
Okay.
Back at the time, that was the blended model. And the only time I really started to get interested in this, because I wasn't in that industry at all as a young adult, but when people were becoming ill in the family, not related to work, and just learning, you know, the sleep environment, the home environment, detoxing. I didn't know, it's like, why isn't latex everywhere? Already thinking that the blended latex was healthier than the regular polyurethane.
It probably is healthier, but it has some of the negatives. Yeah, so if it's like 50% exactly. Doesn't have bad stuff and 50% has bad stuff, you got less bad.
You haven't fully committed to the good. That's the whole thing.
I'm with you.
And that was my curiosity, is why does the regular foam exist? Why isn't it only latex? And only then did I really understand, well, okay, blended is kind of good, but you're only going halfway. You need to really fully commit and... and my original commitment was just eliminating toxins and the air quality. But over the years, working with so many people who were ill, really, there's two people that know their bodies or can sense their bodies: the severely sick, ill people, and they're feeling.
Used to be one of those.
And the opposite, the extremely fit.
Yeah, the pro athletes,
exactly.
Biohackers, right?
Yeah, so that's kind of my education came from these two groups of people.
It's really funny, but so did mine. Like the anti-aging too. As people age, they start being, I feel it this morning. I woke up, my joints hurt. So I first learned from anti-aging people. Then it was, you know, the special forces and pro athletes and all that sort of things. And then the chronic illness, the chronic fatigue syndrome, and multiple chemical sensitivity, the mold toxins, Lyme disease, the stuff that I used to have. So I have the unique power to feel from both sides of that, having gone from low performance to high performance. Mm-hmm. But all the learning, similar group to you. And this kicked off because your family member had cancer, and you're saying, all right, how do I make them feel better, and what are the contributing factors? And like, okay, let's lower the toxic burden.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and you'll notice a lot with people undergoing cancer, they become hypersensitive to chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it comes out in rashes or respiratory issues, you know, the body's overreacting to that environment. And, you know, it was simply to say, okay, let's just go to an organic bed. That seemed like the solution. But then you have allergens, micro dust, things that are in a typical organic bed that are also not good. And you wouldn't know this unless you're dealing with the ill or the super athlete. You know, the ordinary person doesn't, if your body is not overreacting to something, people are as if it's non-existent.
It's kind of funny where you're walking along and someone punches you and you're like, it didn't knock me over. And so I'm still walking, it's all good.
Yeah.
And like, someone's punching every 5 minutes, it's not good, but you only really feel it or notice it if you stumble.
Yeah.
Right. And this is a really important thing. So if you're looking for performance enhancement, if you're taking the punches, you're saying, but I'm performing well enough. Well, if you didn't take the punches, how do you perform? You don't know, because you've never done it without taking the punches.
Correct.
And that was a big learning for me. And as an example, years ago, when I was first learning, actually before I first figured out my problem was mold, or at least a major part of the problem was mold that helped me be obese with autoimmunity and all the stuff I just mentioned, I moved out of a place that I now recognize had Stachybotrys in it, you know, black slimy mold on the backside of the bedroom wall. After we moved out, we noticed the water heater for the neighbor was leaking after we'd actually sold the place. And I said, like that's gross, but I didn't know there was anything, even such a thing as toxic mold in buildings, because this was early 20s. And the person who lived with me at the time, her health had been wrecked by this. My health had been wrecked by this. And we didn't know why. These cognitive things, tired, weight gain, dark circles, new weird allergies, anaphylactic responses to stuff you smell, like chemical sensitivity, all this crap. So we move into a new house. Well, a remodeled house with water damage underneath it. You know, gotta win. And we bought a new mattress topper. So this was over late 90s. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was natural latex because I didn't know any better at the time. And it was about 3-4 inches thick and it smelled like a chemical factory. Mm-hmm. So it'll air out. We put it on the bed, go to sleep, wake up the next morning, and I had to take her to the hospital. because she couldn't really stand up. There was something really bad going on in her back and just horrible pain that was triggering a panic attack. Panic attacks can come from toxins. But one of her rib heads had dislocated that night, literally pulled out, which causes immense pain and muscle tension around it. So they said, oh, let's get you a muscle relaxant. And then it relaxed and she went to a chiropractor who put the rib head back in and it was much better. But I was having the same thing happen. And I've noticed since then, if I get a high toxin load, literally one of my rib heads will pop out. And it's toxin related. It's not, I need to go to the chiropractor. I do to help get it back in. Yeah. But it was because of my exposure to whatever chemical soup of exhaust and pesticides and overcooked foods or whatever. But there's a burden where you get enough of it. And if every night for, well, in my case, only 6.5 hours, but whatever, however many hours you sleep, every night you get 8 hours of ingesting toxins through your skin and your lungs from your mattress, it seems like a stupid thing to do.
Right? It is. And that's kind of what we try to analyze, is that chronic exposure to stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's that, you know, we talk about that, and people are not noticing it. Even if you're getting a punch in the face, they're noticing the punch in the face, but they're overcoming it and dealing with it. The problem here is people don't even, they're not even seeing the punch in the face. That yeah. chronic exposure, they don't know anything's going on. But the reality is, your body is reacting to it. Your body is actively fighting it while you sleep, rather than fully focused on just cell recovery.
Yeah.
It's focused on fighting the outside toxins that's being introduced.
I like to look at that as like a scale, the old-fashioned scale of justice, you know, the one that doesn't exist in the U.S. anymore. That wasn't a partisan comment, to be really clear, in case anyone thought it was. Half of you thought it was one versus the other. It was a broken system comment. But what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with how much energy goes into recovery and how much energy goes into something else. Mm-hmm. It can be detoxing of new toxins that are coming. It can be a stress response, allergens, chemical response, or thinking about your mother-in-law. How much weight is on each side of the scale? And if you can tip it towards, I'm recovering, so there's less weight on the side of additional stresses while you're trying to recover, there's another name for that, parasympathetic activation, or rest and relax, versus half and half, right?
That's kind of then, when you talk about that scale, I believe that that's been what we've been trying to overcome over the years, is not having the compromise. Not, you know, that's how the laws work. The laws work is, okay, well, this is we've decided that this chronic exposure is acceptable because you're not just falling over and dying.
Right.
So this amount of toxins is good, and we can't narrow it down to this being a health problem for you. So that's where laws come in. They have to play the scale. Where I kind of look at this, when I'm looking at the super performer or the ill, those compromises are not acceptable anymore, right? So we have to.
Are you saying that government standards intentionally introduce things that are less than optimal because they were cheaper?
It's for the economy, right? That's what it is, right?
Of course they do.
Of course,
like,
they do.
This is the one that won't kill most people.
Exactly. Yes.
Right? And like, that's the bar. And like, I think I can do better. And I think I have a fundamental human right to choose to do better. If you're listening and you work for the government, don't mess with that right. So,
I mean, we're talking about products. I mean, these in foods, obviously they allow ingredients. They allow additives, chemicals, just for efficiency and business, right?
Oh, sure. You can have these food colorings that absolutely provably tweak, especially on kids' brains. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to put them in kids' products. And like, I don't actually know why, because most countries won't allow it, but in the U.S. they do. Mm-hmm. And you have things like mold toxins in food, where there are no limits on coffee in the U.S., but there are in most of the world. Those are just little examples. And if you look at what someone like Vani Hari, Food Babe, has been talking about for years, like, let's compare insert name of any product from a multinational company and look at that in the U.S., and it has a whole bunch of weird chemicals, and then you look at it somewhere else where they're not allowed, and there's a lot less chemicals. So why are they there? Well, because they're allowed for economic reasons, not for human performance or health reasons. And it's your job to say, all right, in the mattress world, how do we not do that?
Exactly. Yep.
And I look at that mattress thing like I look at lights, like I look at, you know, electrosmog. how do you make it so that it's way better than normal or average? So you're making an abnormal mattress because you don't want the normal mattress.
Exactly. And the complication comes when, if you just look at one element that you want to eliminate, that's not so difficult. If I just want to eliminate toxins, okay, great. I'm going to work with a certified organic Hivia milk, tree sap, rubber, and that's it. We've accomplished that. But that's just one element.
I'm not so sure you've accomplished that. Now, I want you to tell me I'm wrong, because you're a latex guy. I don't know what kind of underwear you're wearing, but I'm kidding. you're an expert. But just because it's organic, I mean, sarin nerve gas is an organic substance from jack beans, and I've smelled organic mattresses. I'm like, there is a solvent in there. It might be a natural organic solvent, but I think it's a VOC because it smells like it and it measures on my meter. What's going on with a natural mattress that smells like a chemical factory?
Well,
yours don't do that, by the way, just to be clear.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, it has its own smell. So the rubber has a smell. So an organic rubber does have a smell. And depending on the plantations, it could be much more pungent. And sometimes it's a lot softer.
So it's a quality issue.
So it's a quality issue. And it's a processing issue as well. But ultimately, what's coming off of that organic material is not damaging as a toxin would be. It's not sparking your central nervous system to defend itself from it. You know, so I think that's one of the key differences. Is a natural product, you know, is not really interfering with your body's activity. It's not pulling up your defenses.
Unless you have a latex allergy.
No. Then again, it's still.
Okay. I mean,
latex allergies, the allergies are to the proteins. What's really important is that in the processing, that the proteins are eliminated.
Oh, so there's no. So people with latex allergies can sleep on an Essentia mattress.
On an Essentia mattress, yes, because we in our processing we make sure that the proteins are.
Different than a natural latex memory foam, where they wouldn't do it because the proteins are still present.
Well, again, a natural latex memory foam only exists at Essentia.
Okay,
so a regular latex, in many cases, it should be depending on how it's processed. So most of them are processed on site. So most brands are buying their latex foam close to those producers, and they're coming in, and they again may have they may have the protein still active in there. We know because we manage it, we control it, we pour it, so we know that our proteins are. In fact, we had to get this tested when we were working with big institutions where latex is just not allowed. So we, in fact, had Dr. Hamilton from Johns Hopkins do a whole analysis on our product just to reassure everyone that there were no proteins active for allergens.
So then you can look at this like a gluten-free thing. Where if it's maybe manufactured and cross-contaminated sort of a thing. And, you know, some of the products that I used to make when I was at Bulletproof, I knew that they probably didn't have gluten in them, right? Because they're made across the factory, but the fact there's gluten inside the factory. So to me, that was a little bit ridiculous, but you have to put the labeling on there. But what you're saying is, food, there are a bunch of standards, and in mattresses, the standards are not like that at all. So you're just saying if we control everything instead of just buying a bunch of whatever we could find and selling it quickly. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where do you want every step of purity, just like I am doing with the new coffee stuff that I'm creating, like I have a history of doing. It's about the small things that add up, which is why I'm like, okay, you're going to teach me this. You're going to teach our listeners about this, and that's one thing you ought to know. You can get latex proteins in a mattress or not, right? Yep. Depending on the quality of the manufacturing process, which you've got.
Correct.
Okay. That makes a ton of sense. Now, before we get into performance enhancement from a mattress, where we're going to go, there's one other thing that's been a real pet peeve of mine for a long time. And it was in my first book, but I knew about it since, 5 years before that. The state of California, probably sometime in the 80s, said, we are very concerned about children smoking in bed so the mattresses could catch on fire without the children getting out of the bed. Therefore, we are going to mandate, even in children's mattresses and adult mattresses, 6 pounds on average of flame retardant endocrine disrupting chemicals for your own safety. And because California has so many people who manufacture mattresses for California said, well, we'll just use the standard for every mattress in the country instead of having a special California edition. And this led to, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of cases of cancer, other endocrine disruption, children's behavioral problems, and it was actually probably meant to be good. It was definitely an evil act, and it was funded by chemical companies who make flame retardants. They put lots of money into lobbying to force the mattress companies to do this. You might not know that, but if you don't buy a bed that has chemical-free flame retardants or just no flame retardants, because frankly, who cares at this point since we don't smoke in bed anymore, then you're getting these automatically. And when I was deciding whether I wanted to have Jack on the show, I'm like, all right, tell me your flame retardant story. So Jack, how do you do this?
Well, flame retardant, that was a big deal for us because that's, again, we've done everything to eliminate toxins.
It flies in the face of what you believe in.
Exactly. And so we were even questioning maybe we're not selling in the U.S. anymore.
Yeah. Good for you. That's integrity.
Because obviously our product's made in Canada. We don't have any of these flame retardant laws. But flame retardants today are way much more of an issue for me than they were even 5 years ago, because now they're getting into their phase-changing chemicals and to stabilize those additional chemicals. But what we basically did, initially we were basically encouraging our customers to get doctor's notes so that we can sell them the mattress without any flame retardants, because we were not making any flame retardants.
So this is an example of the chemical companies using the regulatory powers of the government to create a monopoly. Okay, that kind of shit pisses me off. Sorry, keep going.
I was seeing that the U.S. producers of organic mattresses, how are they getting around it? They were getting around it, but not in a very straightforward way. They were getting your organic wool, and then they were doing separate treatments to that wool, because wool on its own is not a fire barrier. So they would kind of...
My sheep catch on fire a lot.
Yeah. So that was not an option for us. And wool, then other nesting grounds. So we didn't want to get into allergens. We don't want to, we didn't want to just be shifting over. Then we did find a Kevlar knit. So we basically put this Kevlar knit and we sent it into the labs, and we made sure that we had zero off-gassing that was tracked.
Kevlar is chemically inert, and that stuff does not off-gas that I'm aware of.
Yeah. No, exactly. So basically, we've opted to basically put a Kevlar jacket on all of our beds. It had the right flexibility, so we're able to get all the benefits of the surface of the bed without any of the chemicals.
Is this actually a bulletproof mattress?
There you go. That's a good one.
I can't believe I didn't think of that until now. So you're saying, all right, we'll, and this actually makes me happy at a soul level. You're saying, all right, we'll follow your stupid rules, but we'll do it our way.
Sure, exactly. Yeah.
And so you did what they said, but not what they wanted. You didn't buy the chemicals. You bought Kevlar, which is more expensive instead.
Yeah,
but you created a superior bed with that. Mm-hmm. So, all right. And guys, I'm going to talk about what I have slept on for a while, and then I'm going to compare it here, and then we're going to go into our performance enhancement, like what mattresses can do for sleep and recovery. I've had a variety of mattresses, and because I am a biohacker, and because I used to have a lot of musculoskeletal pain, like more than most people will ever understand, partly from lectins and oxalates and mold toxins and chronic fatigue and all, but it used to feel like I had a candle burning between my shoulder blades all the time. I mean, I would just get used to it, but it was 7 or 8 out of 10 pain just all the time. Just like, oof, just grit your teeth and just go through the day. Mm-hmm. Really draining. I don't know if I've even talked about that much, but it was not a good thing. And it was toxin related. And then I said, all right, maybe I need a really soft mattress. And I would spend money on mattresses, and that mattress topper I talked about that made things worse. And eventually I settled on sleeping on a very, very hard, like neoprene from a wetsuit. There's an even harder version of that that barely moves when you push on it. And I sleep on like a 1-inch thing of that, essentially on the floor. It's on a platform that's tilted because I like to raise the height of my bed. Mm-hmm. So it's like like a caveman would sleep, really, right? Now, I'm built a certain way. I like to think kind of like an athlete. The New York Times said I'm almost muscular, so there, call me that. but I'm a big guy, right? And I don't know, but that's worked for me. But since then, I tried a variety of mattresses that I really like, right? And I like it, but then I'm like, I find, okay, I've tested this for a month or two, and it feels good, but then I kind of migrate back to sleeping on essentially the floor. Mm-hmm. So I have a very tolerant wife, guys. So what I'm doing now is I'm testing out the very firmest of the Essentia. And so I'm really liking what I see. And, you know, I'll report back to you guys. It's going to take, you know, 60, 90 days to really know for sure. But part of my issue with this is that closed cell neoprene is not off-gassing after I've had it for this amount of time. Like, there's no smell at all. So for me to be able to find a Kevlar-coated, actually properly made bed, it really matters. Because I have played around with some various allegedly good latex beds, never had the kind of results I wanted, mostly because when they ship them, you know, they're compressing them the same way you do. You vacuum seal it so it's easy to ship, which is cool. But then they're not very dense, right? And like, that's great if you're a vegan guy who is, you know, 140 pounds and low testosterone and no bone density. But I'm like 230 if I do a few pull-ups, and my bone density is very high. And you put me on a bed like that, it's like wearing vegan pants. Like, I didn't want leggings. I wanted pants, right? So with a hard thing here, like the hard firm, I guess mattress companies shouldn't say hard. That's bad marketing. But with the firm mattress, that's the kind of thing that you're, what you said, 25% of the NHL sleeps on your mattresses?
Yeah, over right? 25% of NHL.
Are they all players. On the firm one, or are they like the soft, squishy types?
It all depends on their posture. We really,
okay, tell me about this.
Yeah, so ultimately, your posture really dictates what you need. The key is to eliminate
your
negative
posture,
space.
Not the size of your ass, to be really clear.
Completely posture and not the size of your ass or your gut.
I've been trying to put junk in my trunk.
Jeez. And basically, because you want to eliminate that negative space. And negative space is what we need for support. On your posture, see, you're thinking it's because you're built strong, you're built dense, but also with your posture, you need a flatter surface.
Okay.
So basically, when we're developing our mattresses, you know, simply said, soft, medium, firm, but really, our density is always high. In fact, our softest mattress has higher density than our firmest mattress because...
Oh, interesting.
What I'm doing is I'm just changing the elasticity.
So it's not the amount of air, it's how stretchy the fibers are.
Exactly.
And that's different. All the other mattress companies just add more air, right?
Exactly. That the method of conventional foam or conventional mattress is by adding air. And you look at the fibers. If they want a soft mattress, they'll have a looser fill fiber. But those are not durable because the air eventually gets compressed out. And so over use, right? So those products, if you're not feeling the pain in 6 months, you're feeling them 2 or 3 years later
because so they don't last.
They don't last. So for me, durability is how long does it perform for you? Not, you know, because people change it many years after that they don't perform. So on a posture, you're a pro athlete, you're saying it does change. It doesn't necessarily need to be firm unless your posture dictates firm. Simply said, the flatter your lower back, the less elasticity you need, the more curved your lower back, the higher elasticity you need.
And the higher elasticity is tied to...
Well, that's where you'll sink in and it'll eliminate that negative space.
So you're going to have a soft, a higher elasticity mattress or more elastic mattress, if you have a really heavy curve in your low back.
Correct.
If you have a flatter low back, then you want a firm mattress.
Exactly.
Okay.
A firm mattress, less in our product, it will be less elasticity, but you're still benefiting from the pressure redistribution, which is important. Because what you're getting is that flatter back is really driving your mid-body into these mattresses that are too soft for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's really happening. You're not properly aligned because of your you know, and more so because if your dense bone structure, more muscle, all these things kind of, if you're on the wrong surface, enhance the problem.
Okay, that makes so much sense, and I'm eager to try this. And the implication here is that what your mother ate before and during pregnancy when she was carrying you, in some way determines how firm of a mattress you should get.
Yeah.
because higher grain consumption, lower nutrient consumption actually is documented. This is Weston A. Price research in the Better Baby book, actually, can determine how flat your spine is. Mm-hmm. So you get a flatter spine with less of a curve from mom's diet. So thanks, mom, for the firm mattress.
You want to know how I consult with pro athletes? I don't even have to see them. We have a discussion over the phone.
Yeah.
And we talk about personality.
No
and
way.
And personality is linked to your posture.
So you can say by personality your mattress firms. Okay, yeah. You got to tell me more about this. This is awesome.
So it was interesting because I was working with the medical team of the Montreal Canadiens back in the day, a few years back. And we were outfitting their whole team with Essentia mattresses. It was a decision by management. And as I'm working with their trainers and then I'm working with their medical team, one of them was really, he helped players with injury correct their postures, and he was identifying their postures through their personality questions.
Wow.
And over 1 million case studies, and it was right on every single time. And so what we did during that off season, I onboarded them at Essentia. I go, guys, we need to learn this. We need to be able to, I can't, you know, fly around everyone to meet all these players and fit them for a mattress. So if this technology, if this concept idea works, that would be fantastic. And in fact, right now we have an automated here at the conference, we're offering free evaluations for everyone where people answer 25 questions and we know their muscular strengths, muscular weaknesses.
Is that on the website too? Like on the Essentia website?
It's just getting on the Essentia website.
Okay, I didn't see it when I did a lot of research to make sure that I wanted to have you on, that you weren't going to try and sell me a mattress.
No, we were doing this only for pro athletes.
Pros.
It was only for pros. When we were coming to the conference, our team says, well, let's just digitize the whole thing.
Okay.
So for this conference, we're making it available to everybody. And following the conference, it's a part of our website after that.
That's actually really cool. And you have some kind of validation clinically, or this is just observational? Or
Well, basically, it was the thesis and all of the case studies by Dr. Guimond from the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay, so it's
yes.
It's Dr. Guimond's work. All right, that's pretty cool. So tell me the top five personality traits of someone who sleeps on a soft mattress. Okay, they like kale.
Extrovert.
They're an extrovert, okay.
Yeah, so they're definitely an extrovert. It gets onto the softer mattress. I'd have to go back. I don't even know everything off hand.
Plus, it's a survey with lots of little things.
Yeah,
right?
It was, and like I said, it was Dr. Guimond's study. What we've done is based on his results.
Okay, got it.
We made the mattresses that matched the results, the formulations that matched it. And we're basically making, I guess it's 264 different latex formulations for every layer to be able to adapt to it. And we've had such, you know, a great story from one of the players that used to play in Colorado. We were making these pro athletes model, each side was matched to their posture and personality. So the player is on one side, his spouse is on the other, right? When he got on it, the surface, it's one mattress. You can't feel the difference that there's two mattresses on the inside going on. So he got on the mattress, and a lot of these players, they immediately recover from certain ailments when they get on our mattress. And
immediately, like in a week of sleeping on it? Or
sometimes in days, yeah.
Very cool.
And so, on my next visit to Colorado, I go and see him, and Matt, how's it going? He goes, Jack, you know what? I really was questioning your process. It just sounded weird. Personality, myself, my wife, and the mattress felt the same. But I was feeling good. I was feeling great. My neck pain was gone, and we just for kicks we swapped sides. And after a couple of days, it was not the same. I was getting a neck pain, and he goes, I go, imagine that, Matt. And you were still on an Essentia side. You still had a great mattress that you were on, but it wasn't tuned for your posture as your side was. That was his own realization how that made a difference.
I did. So I have a California King at home, and I did have one set of mattresses we were playing around with. And guys, it's kind of weird to play around with testing mattresses. Look, I'm a biohacker, and I've spent way more money than anyone has any business doing just trying to tweak things because I'm curious at this point because I curate stuff. So we had like a firm mattress on my side and like a softer medium one on my wife's side. But the, you know, the two separate mattresses. The problem is then there's certain activities that you do in the middle of the mattress usually, and it's like off. You know, one side's not as supportive as the other, and that wasn't very positive. So you're saying even if one person has an extrovert, one's an introvert, whatever, they have different, like radically different densities, it still feels pretty much like one mattress because it's very subtle changes.
Yes, and what we do is we have that top layer where, because everything's molded in our product, So this is our ProCore model, which was designed for pro athletes. And that top layer, that first top inch, were identical all the way across the board. And then the formula was changing beyond that.
Okay.
So because ultimately that first half inch to 1 inch is ultimately just the blood circulation, numbing, making sure that you have that kind of flow.
That makes sense. So you're, because the top layer's there, you're not feeling that.
And then don't
that
forget, we're a very dense product.
Okay.
So you're not going to have the air fluff on one side.
Because you're not adding the fluff. Yeah. That was the problem, was there's a lot of air on one side.
So you're looking at a super fluff cloud compared to a firm mattress. That's not the essential way.
And there's a reason that high heel shoes leave marks on wood floors. It's a pounds per square inch thing. So if I put my elbow and my knee on a mattress and you got 230 pounds on these little surfaces, that's a lot more than if you weigh 100 pounds. It just is. Mm-hmm. So the PSI thing matters, but since it isn't an air-filled thing, we're not dealing with that. All right, this is making a lot more sense. You actually did a study about recovering from sports concussions using the Essentia mattress. And, okay, that's interesting because if people's brains are working better because of a certain mattress when they're in the process of recovery, what did you find in the study and what's going on with that?
You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey.
Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should, because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat cold tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500.
Okay, that's interesting because if people's brains are working better because of a certain mattress when they're in the process of recovery, what did you find in the study and what's going on with that? Because that's kind of a big deal.
So we've done a lot of tests with pro athletes. They've been really great with us just because they're on board with tracking and tracking their sleep, tracking their activities. And, you know, and we work with basically, we were working with NFL teams. And we are actually working with some of the medical specialists of the NBA and really understanding players and sleep. What we really realized is that by eliminating these stimulants, and the stimulants, I include toxins, but I include heat as a stimulant, EMFs are stimulants, pain is an obvious stimulant. If we eliminate all of these, and what we've just been able to see is that within a shorter amount of time, you say you only sleep 6 hours, you know, like
6.5 hours.
The key is that they're good hours that we're keeping you in REM.
Hour and a half of REM on the average 6.5 hours. I'm okay with that.
So what we had realized in our testing is that everything's recovering faster, cells are recovering faster, and that was the case with concussions as well. But it also affected stress levels. Happiness levels. I mean, what we were just seeing with players is that they were way more focused when they're sleeping well. And our method is just eliminating stimulants, and ultimately just comparing how they sleep on our stimulant-free mattresses compared to how they're sleeping on a conventional. And you know what's most popular for athletes? That's the other thing is that most athletes are buying the complete opposite of what we're selling. They're all into memory foams, high toxins, high heat, or chemically induced coolness through phase dimming. So they because they're not digging deep, they're not trying to understand what they need for sleep.
There are still a surprising number of pro athletes who are eating, you know, hot dogs.
Not as much, though. Not as much.
It's shifted. But you see, like, the Tom Brady's, the Nick Foles in football, and you see, like, the Bryan Brothers. Their careers are lasting way longer, but they don't do toxins, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't all eat exactly the same things and all that. But generally speaking, they're eliminating as many toxins as they can. They're recovering better, and they're conscious of all this stuff. So I think it's interesting that by eliminating stimulants during sleep, you're getting these results. And what did you find for concussions? Like an improvement in speed of healing time? Or what was the outcome in the study?
The outcome was basically what we were seeing early on. And we were not able to actually do a full formal testing with the teams as we wanted
to.
Just because of NFLPA also had certain regulations about tracking players beyond a certain amount of time. So what we were able to do to learn from the doctor that was handling it is basically the less stress, the less anxiety, the easier the players were able to get that rest that they needed and help recover faster.
It goes back to that scales of justice model where, yeah, like, oh, look, you have an extra stressor, which is recovering from a brain injury. Maybe you shouldn't pour a bunch of other crap on there.
Yeah.
Okay, it makes good sense to me. And you mentioned a list that was really important. One of them was EMF, and you have a very unique way of blocking EMFs on a mattress.
So EMFs, we approach it very differently. Whereas a lot of known technologies for avoiding EMFs have been grounding pads or the idea of channeling the energy somewhere else, away from the body. We needed something a little different in what we try to approach everything is an evidence-based approach, trying to see how the body's reaction.
Looking at outcomes in the body, okay.
Exactly. Rather than just analyzing the EMF, we're really looking at the outcomes in the body. So we were working with a Dr. Valer in Switzerland, and basically he opened up our eyes to looking at blood cell activity.
This is like live blood cell analysis,
exactly.
Dark field microscopy.
Exactly.
Okay. We just talked about that on one of the other episodes here. Oh yeah, with Leela Quantum Tech, we actually had pictures of dark field microscopy. So this, to remind listeners, mm-hmm, is when you have little stacked up red blood cells, and when things are working better, they unstack themselves, so you get better oxygenation and
correct,
maybe some other stuff. But is that
exactly?
Okay.
This is exactly. Right. So we went through the analysis of this blood work with people using our products, and we came up with a different mineral content version of our mattress. So our EMF barrier version, the whole mattress all the way through has a whole new mineral formula in it. So basically, what we've seen, and it's during phone calls, and we actually have this. I believe we have it on our website, where you actually see the blood cell analysis of with our barrier, without the barrier. So all we know is that with our barrier formula, the cells no longer are stacked together.
Okay.
So it's completely clear, even better than not even having any of the EMFs around.
Interesting.
So the blood is just harmoniously flowing. The cells are flowing unobstructed. And our interpretation of that is that if the cells are kind of stacked together, your oxygen flow is not going to be as good.
Well, it's a technology that's been around forever. The first time I did it, God, I don't remember what year it was, but it was called Country Sun in South Palo Alto, this weird health food store, like the OG kind, probably, that was founded right around the same time that Whole Foods was founded, sometime in the 80s. And they had someone come in twice a week and do dark field microscopy. The first time I got my little picture of my red blood cell, and they looked at it like, you're going to die. Because I had, at the time, extremely high viscosity in my blood.
Really?
Yeah, to the point that another physician who diagnosed it at a lab just said high risk of stroke and heart attack, and it wasn't even 30. So it's something I've become aware of. Yeah. And so it's funny, dark field, which the Western medicine people have tried to discredit, although it's got 35 years or something of good data behind it. That was the first one to tell me that. And then I spent $500 at a lab to tell me the same thing that I learned from a $40 dark field thing. Right? So, it's a cool tech. And what you guys are doing with the Ascension mattress, which I've never heard of, is instead of saying, I'm going to have a sheet of metalized fabric, which is the typical way of doing it, what you're doing is you're saying, what if we distributed a matrix of minerals throughout all the foam, right? Yeah. So now it's a much thicker thing. And instead of saying, all right, we're going to hold an EMF, you know, say there's no EMFs, we're going to look at when a person sleeps on this, they're getting this result.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, I kind of like that, but have you actually put an EMF meter there and seen if the EMFs change?
No, we really only focused on blood cells. We never never looked at...
But you A-B tested it and you said, exactly, this mattress doesn't have minerals and the blood's sticky, this mattress has minerals.
And we've done it with different age groups, different genders.
Okay.
And we really we are satisfied with the data. I'll only dive into something if I see that, okay, it's making a difference, and it's, you know, and that's what's important to me is products that are making a difference and not obstruct something else that we're trying to do. So by putting another layer on top, I'm not, my elasticity is not adapting to your body as easily, or my heat, your body heat is not flowing through as I want it to be. So that's where, by putting the mineral content throughout the whole block, I'm achieving one. We are actually seeing that we actually are protecting the whole room. You don't even need to be sleeping on it because there's so much of it, right? Those were the important indicators that we were on the right track and it was worth putting in.
Blood viscosity is so interesting. Gerald Pollack came on the show a while back, and he's a professor at University of Washington who identified exclusion zone water, which is how inside cells, the body, you drink water, and it turns the water using 1200 nanometer light, now there's body heat, turns it in the presence of a lipid membrane, you know, cell wall, turns the water into biologically usable water called EZ water. And I funded research at his lab where he's like, oh, that's weird, but MCT and grass-fed butter fat create really huge amounts of exclusion zone water. But the reason I'm bringing all this stuff up is that in large part controls blood viscosity. Because if you have the right kind of water in your blood, it works and around cell membranes, and that allows them to go through microcapillaries. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a quantum biology effect. It is not a normal biochemical effect, which is why everyone got mad at him. And he's like, guys, look at my microscope slides. Do you see the fuzzy border? That's exclusion zone. Can you explain it via any other mechanism? No, you can't. Right, so there's this weird kind of sticky state of water that or actually less sticky state that is achievable, and things outside the body, I believe, can affect that. And it sounds like what you've done is, in an attempt to have a thicker EMF blocking field, you actually said, all right, well, now we've got something that is changing it's probably quantum, but anyway, it's changing the dynamics of something in the body that's measurable and visible.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, and that's kind of important to us, is that we're able to measure it, and we're able to qualify and quantify it, and then it was just a part of it, and that's what our high performers want. That's what our athletes want, because, you know, Jack, whatever, you know, my players, whenever they say, whenever there's something new, Jack, just let me know. I want to make sure I have the greatest that you have to offer, because they've just seen in all the elements that we focus on is not just to do something different, it's to do something well.
Okay. I think you're just a big mattress nerd at this point. I mean, look at this. It's disgusting, Jack, the level of mattress nerdiness that you have. But it's actually really cool. I love it when you find an expert who just is like, I know everything about this. Like, that's what I do.
And it's taking me to some pretty cool places. And everyone shrugs and looks at me in the oddest way when they see me in these environments that I never thought. First of all, I didn't think I'd be in the mattress world, right? That was not what I grew up thinking I'd want to be. But I can recall, this one player, and I'm a big hockey fan, so to me, those stories stick with me. But the very first player that we introduced us to, and actually at the conference here, I invited a speaker who is the guy who introduced hockey players to Ascension.
Oh, cool.
And he's just so knowledgeable. Strength and conditioning coach, sports science director for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And this guy was researching everything to try to help his star player with recovery. So when we first offered the mattress to him, and I was such a fan, and a different, our players actually buy our beds. We don't comp them. But that player, I said, he can have one. You know, and he actually said no. He was afraid that this strange, dense rubber feeling was so different than what he experienced traveling on the road that he didn't want to try it out. But anyhow, years later, hundreds of players are sleeping on except him. He gets another concussion.
Oh, no.
And this time around, calls me up and says, Jack, I'm willing to give it a try. And he gets it, and I don't hear from him. A month goes in, I call, no answer. Typical. I call his agent, and goes, he hasn't mentioned anything. You know, so I figured he chucked it away because he was so such a creature of habit.
And plus, with a concussion, you do all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah. Anyhow, I get a call one evening. They're in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wow.
And I get a call from his agent, and he says, you're available tomorrow night. We're, you know, if you can make it, we'd like to have you in Pittsburgh. So I find a way. I get to Pittsburgh, and here I am in the owner's box with the owner of the Penguins, agent, family, and basically they told me that we win tonight. You're coming to the house to celebrate.
Wow.
And you know, so and one guy saying appreciate what you've done for the team. Then you have like guys there that are sponsors, like, you know, Gatorade and all kinds of, you know, sporting equipment, and they're like, "What do you do? Mattresses or latex mattresses?" And they're all shrugging.
I'm a latex guy.
Yeah. So like, and they're like, "What are you doing here?" But meanwhile, I go down and see the players after the game, and I, you know, most of these guys I spoke to by phone or in some way, and they're all so appreciative of what I've done for them, and it was kind of cool because I never really thought I was doing that much. I was just being my nerdy self, focused on latex. But they really appreciated the product so much so that I got invited to the owner's box, which is kind of cool.
that says more than, you know, an endorsement is going to say, where it made a difference and they said, all right, do this. It's the things that you wouldn't expect that matter that make a difference. So like the foam or the mineral distribution through the foam, I mean, it could be replicating the effects of sleeping on the earth or something. Like, there could be some other thing going on, but we don't have to necessarily know why. But when you get such dramatic results, you know, people can tell.
Yeah.
So we know that there's something EMF related that's helping with circulation. You talk about cerebral hypothermia.
Yep.
Tell me about that.
So that's interesting because everyone knows that, you know, it's commonly known that sleeping cool is good for you, good for sleep, right? We had realized in looking at the data and tracking that if you're constantly in an active state of cooling down through what we analyze as an 8-hour period, so rather than going to bed feeling cold, that's not as important as the act of your body constantly cooling down. And to the point where your central nervous system is constantly slowing down. All your activities internally are slowing down, and that keeps you in your REM cycles longer, keeps you in deep sleep. And so we've noticed that if you're just cooling yourself down, that's short-lived. So often people act on their what they can kind of relate to consciously. So they'll go to bed cold, and they'll feel great because they fall asleep really quick. However, internally, how is that clock working? And we've realized that if it's gradual and constant, you're staying in those deep sleep cycles longer rather than when the temperature goes up, the body starts to prepare to get into its awakened stage.
You know, I get it. I can see. You know, historically, if you were a mitochondria floating in the ocean, and at sunset, the water's relatively warm, and it cools with some equation that's probably not quite linear, but mostly linear, over the course of the night, right? And then it starts to come back up at sunrise. So making the body cold all at once might not work. And some of the chilling systems that I'm a fan of, frankly, are programmable to have, you know, like to have it change over the course of the night. But your thing that says, okay, as long as the body can dump heat when it wants to, it's going to follow a natural circadian rhythm. But if you're sleeping on a normal, like a sticky latex mattress, that doesn't have the cooling aspects.
So what I like, talking about those chilling products, I do like some of the, I like the ones that are on top, the blanket version.
Yeah, the blanket version.
Blanket
is cool.
Version, because that one, you're allowing that cooling to happen. You can program it, but then you're allowing on the surface that your heat to escape. You're allowing that to happen. You're not causing any perspiration through having any of the products that just basically trap you in that into this kind of heat phase. So that's the whole process of allowing your body heat to escape the body.
Okay. I have a question that I hadn't really thought to ask you about it, but you guys have been named like 5 times in a row Consumer Reports top choice for a mattress. And I know Consumer Reports. I run a large company, and I haven't found their stuff to be very transparent. Like they kind of pretend like it is, but I always feel like there's some weird politics and stuff behind it and all of that. And Essentia isn't, you know, one of the largest mattress companies either for the e-commerce, you know, airbag ones, you know, the ones that are mostly air, or, you know, the giant, you know, historical ones. How did you pull that off?
Because that's hard to do.
As a CEO, I want to know, how did you get Consumer Reports to even pay attention to a smaller, like super premium?
Yeah,
brand
we
like
were
yours?
Really surprised, to be honest, when it happened. And it's funny you say that, because our opinion internally, because obviously we're biased and completely proud of what we've accomplished, we feel that the fact that there's a number two so close to us is because they're big companies. Because there's no reason for the number two to be even so close to us.
If you have like a 10 or $100 million research budget,
yeah,
you ought to be able to come pretty close, but you care about stuff they don't care about.
Yeah, it is really interesting, just because what they test, it was fully independent. We have no control, and the fact that it kept showing up year after year, we were grateful and happy. But we had zero control over it. They actually bought our product without us knowing, tested it without us knowing, and published their findings.
So this was totally blind.
It's completely blind.
Wow.
Yeah, this was completely
blind. So a reviewer there listened to some of what you said and must have changed some of their variables for what mattered in a mattress, because the stuff you care about, there's actually no VOCs, there's actually no latex.
That's what I wanted to kind of jump on. VOCs and any of the stimulants have nothing to do with their evaluation process. And that's where we were talking with our guys that I work with, the company Delos, and they're fantastic when they work with
Mayo environmental Clinic. Standards.
Yeah, so we've worked with them, and they've put our mattresses in any wellness center, and they actually told me, because Jack, if Consumer Reports would actually test the stuff that really matters in your product, there would be no number two. Because if, you know, the number two next to us actually is full of VOCs. So, you know, we would be so far detached if they looked at stimulants, VOCs, so many elements. But we're so grateful that we're on that list. Like I said,
it's a big win.
Small company on that list.
it's a huge win. I remember in my career once I wanted to get on the Magic Quadrant, which is a Gartner thing in the tech world, a huge thing. And I managed to get us on as a $10 million company up against $100 million companies. But it was like a battle, and it was terrible. And I was imagining you went through something like that. But no, you're like, they called us and said we won.
They published it.
Oh.
And we learned about it from the publishing.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's about as clean as it gets. And it's one of those things. You go up on the shelf, right, at the store, and say you want to buy whatever food product is there. And you go, these look like they're equivalents, and this one's $6 less than this one. All right, you know, let's turn that one over, and you look at the labels, and you go, they're mostly equivalent, right? But the $6 less one, they did something. And you're like, they didn't tell you what they did to their, you know, cashew butter, or, you know, they cut a corner, right? They almost had to. And what you're saying is, here's our standards. They're not related to mattress industry standards.
Correct.
But you still won.
You still won.
Okay, that's cool.
It's an interesting thing when you look at so many consumer products, and you look at in nutrition and food. You walk into a grocery store, there's probably like 6 companies that make every different product in there.
Yep.
Similar in our space, there's not that many, you know, there's many mattress brands, but they're all buying the components from the same people. They're buying the foam from a handful of foamers. They're buying the fabrics from a handful of fabric guys. They're buying, you know, so really you're down to like really five people supplying all these different mattress brands. We're the only ones who really, we make it all ourselves. So we have our own formula. So we're not on that main track that you'd see in the grocery store or in the mattress store, you know? So that's what keeps us a little, that's how we're able to really make something different based on our values.
Okay. I respect that. It's that same just doing stuff that people don't think matters, except it does.
Yeah.
And I kind of did that with coffee, right? You know, yeah. But did people get mad at you in the mattress industry? Like, you're not allowed to say that. You know, how dare you say VOCs and talk about this stuff? Or you didn't get a lot of pushback?
Initially, because I never thought I'd sell it directly to a consumer. I developed this product that was just a latex geek, but not marketing geek or anything like that. So when I was initially proposing people to buy it, everybody wanted it. But they didn't want the story that came with it. So I had one guy, you know, big promises saying I can do this, but you can't talk about adhesives, you can't talk about VOCs, you can't talk about... So you don't want me to talk about anything. Sure. He goes, well, what else am I going to talk about? That's what I make. He goes, just depend on your brand. I go, I don't have a brand. Nobody knows me. So I went, I opened up, we launched our website, and we said, you know what? Because the first people who really adopted Essentia were the ill. And they didn't care about marketing. They just wanted to feel better.
Yeah, and they all talk to each other. They know what works.
And then from there, so our journey started with people who had health struggles. Then it went to people who were overcoming their health struggles. Then it went to preventative people. Then it went to lifestyle. Then we got to performance. You know, I was in business 7-8 years before we really thrived in the performance world. Whereas before we were almost like a healthcare world, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool. An interesting transition, an interesting journey as a company. But throughout all, it's all about helping people. That was helping people sleep. That was our main, you know, I was telling someone just the other day, I don't remember if a year economically was a good year or a bad year financially. But I remember that guy, and I remember who I helped here. I remember the feedback of the guy who couldn't cycle anymore and now is cycling again. So those were great stories, way more than that we had budget.
Yeah. It matters a lot when you hear that. And the idea that you wouldn't kind of sign up for a gag order around, you can't talk about this, can't talk about that if we buy it. I have probably lost tens of millions of dollars over my just absolute, I will not sign any gag orders. You know, mm-hmm. And people would offer me whatever. And you're like, no. Like, I will speak the truth as I see it, and I'm not going to sign papers that say I don't.
I think Essentia would be a bigger brand if I would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be running the company. It just goes against what I would want to do, so I'd have to hand the keys over to someone else.
And then they would probably try to drive it into the ground and ruin your standards. I've never seen anything like that with anything that I do.
Well, if you're not going to, because then at that point you have to then pull out all those expensive things that we're putting in. Would have to come out. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, a gallon of essential oil is, you know, 100 times more expensive than a gallon of oil. So once you start to substitute those things out and go back to what makes it efficient and low cost, then you take out all the value of the product.
And I'm going to paraphrase Ben Franklin here. And he said, the sweetness of a low price, is never better than the bitterness of low quality, right? And is never better than, he was more eloquent than that. But basically, it feels good. Like, look, I got a mattress for $49.95, right? But then you hate it later. And I've learned that it's the truth. You know, good stuff costs more. That said, not everyone has enough money to go out and buy, you know, the same mattress that, you know, pro athletes use and all that stuff. And that's something else that you've done and something that I vetted. And my deal with listeners is, look, I'm going to talk about mechanisms. And you guys learned a lot about VOCs. You learned about cooling and EMFs and you know, some other aspects of sleep, even, you know, the concussion recovery. But I'd like to talk about, you know, what can you do that's lower cost or free, and the mechanisms are free and the lower cost, and then There's, you know, what are the crazy billionaires doing? What's all the stuff in between? And instead of saying, yeah, we have kind of one mattress in four sizes, and there's a famous mattress company that'll send you an air-filled one, right, that does that kind of thing. But you actually do like four levels here. Walk me through what those are.
Well, I've always been striving to make the lowest price product
because you want people to use it because it's better, exactly. Right?
So that's been the R&D challenge for us. How do we make this? Everything's perception. You know, like our pro athletes think that we're a steal because we're charging half the price of what they're being marketed.
Oh wow!
On our top end mattress, right? Because people see their athletes, they got big salaries, so they get inflated prices. But that still is not the norm for the ordinary Joe is not spending $10,000-$12,000 on a mattress, right?
That's the very highest performance,
correct? Yeah.
The Rolls Royce mattress level kind
exactly,
of thing.
Exactly. That's okay. Customized to their posture and all that. We've gone the opposite approach. Our first mattress that I developed in 05 was our performance category, which is the level below what, you know. So
your second best, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then as we improved it and we had our whole body recovery, which is our top quality right now, which basically drops the body temperature, readapts to any movement faster. So we have our whole body, which is the off-the-rack version of what our pro athletes do. Our pro athletes would
Okay, so you have like custom Procore crazy level, then the
whole
next
body recovery,
okay,
which is the same technology but standardized soft
based on
firm.
That. Okay, based on that survey, so you're gonna fill out a survey, you're gonna tell you which is the setting.
Correct.
Versus like 264 custom weird. Okay, so that's what most people are gonna buy if they're not too worried about the budget.
Exactly.
Okay, then and what's below that?
Below that is our performance, which first iteration, which was the body temperature drop is about 4 degrees instead of the 7.5 degrees. And doesn't readapt as quickly, but still has so
zero
many
VOCs. It's
zero
super
VOCs,
clean. Okay.
Super clean. All of our there's a certain minimum standard that we're always going to go by. Yeah. Is that it won't have this. None of our mattresses have to have the VOC stimulants. None of them have to have the heat stimulant. None of them have to have the allergen stimulants. And so below that, what we call our lifestyle, the lifestyle has all of the above, but again, won't have the drop in temperature. Won't have as much of the posture support that you'd get out of it. So we have a fourth category, which is our entry level. But I really call our entry level a transitional tool for someone who is not so committed to sleep, because it's, you know, I call every level how seriously do you take your sleep,
right?
And how much does it become a priority in your investment? Our entry level is a hybrid, which it has the coils, which I've never been a proponent of coils in a mattress, but we like it or not, most of the population sleeps on coils. So we put our Essentia technology at the surface and we have the coils. And I kind of see that as a crossover. You're not willing to commit to a wellness in bed. You know you need better sleep. You know you need better environment. So this is your transitional tool.
And at least it has no VOCs.
Yes,
and it's got all the natural price stuff.
It's just over $1,000. So it's a very inexpensive, very affordable mattress.
That's harder to ship, though, with coils, isn't it?
It's a we big still old box. Compress, we can still roll. Yeah,
okay,
still
so you can get it up the stairs. Yeah. All right.
Well, mind you, our equipment to roll pack is not what you normally buy those. You know, we had to reinforce this equipment.
Okay, got it. Because of the springs.
All right. Not for the springs, for our heavy mattress.
Yeah, because it's not all air.
Exactly.
And that means shipping costs a little bit more. Do you guys pay for shipping? Most
we do, yeah.
All right, so that doesn't matter for customers. All right, so that starts at $1,000.
Yep.
And now those have the Kevlar flame retardant on them as well?
Everything has Kevlar.
Okay, yeah, there you go. So you got a flame retardant.
We refuse to put any of the,
I didn't look at the price on the intro level stuff, but that is the best price I've ever seen for a no flame retardant natural latex. It doesn't, it has coils in the middle, fine, but that's the natural latex on top.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So that is within reach for anyone who's going to buy a mattress.
Exactly.
Right? And it goes
and
up from
there.
When
we stand behind it won't have any of the bad stuff in it.
Yeah,
right?
adhesives, weird stuff. Okay. Well, I respect that greatly because it it bothers me sometimes. I'm willing to, like, this is a $20,000 piece of clinical equipment, right? And I'm going to talk about the mechanism so you can go to a clinician and get, you know, a treatment with something or whatever. Go to an Upgrade Labs and use whatever. This is different, though, because it is accessible for everyone. And if you're going to spend $1,000 on VOCs, endocrine disruption, flame retardants, or spend the same money and get something that is clean, that's actually really hard to achieve. So kudos on that one. I didn't realize that the entry level was dialed in. So, and it gets a little bit better, guys. MyAscentia.com/Dave Asprey. Use promo code Dave VIP. As you know, if you're a listener of The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey, formerly known as Bulletproof Radio, well, you always get a discount whenever I can work one out. So you're giving them a discount on top of what's already ridiculously affordable for what it is now that you know what it is. And you've learned crazy amounts about mattresses and sleep and all this stuff you didn't know was going on in the industry. So thanks for being such a natural latex nerd, mattress nerd. I'm not sure what the best word for you is, Jack, but it's been really fun learning from you. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you guys liked the episode, you know what to do. Well, you should come to the next biohacking conference because you just missed this one. We're recording it right at the biohacking conference, unless you were here, in which case I'm sending you extra good vibes. And you guys remember, myascentia.com/Dave Asprey. Use code Dave VIP, save some money. Prioritize what you can do and what you can do with the money and the time and the energy that you have that's going to make the biggest difference on your life. The reason I care about sleep is that sleep has the highest ROI of just about anything you could do. So you should do something about your sleep, but you may want to spend $10 on aluminum foil to black out your windows first if that's where you are, and that's okay. Right, so make sure that you get that. And when it's time for a mattress, you know what to look for in a good mattress. See you guys soon.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.